Let's get our Bibles out. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27.
Anyone who hears and obeys these teachings of mine is like a wise person who built a house on solid rock. Rain poured down, rivers flooded, and winds beat against that house, but it did not fall because it was built on solid rock. Anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey them is like a foolish person who built a house on sand. The rains poured down, the rivers flooded, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Finally, it fell with a crash.
How do you measure somebody's commitment? How do you do that? Commitment. I mean, how do you measure commitment? Yoshiko says, see what they do when something bad happens. That's true. That's true. And there is probably a large percentage of people that say they're committed to something. But then when it's time to do it, you kind of see who's really committed. Don't you see things like that? I mean, you start to see waxing and waning, waxing and waning. I know one of my good friends, Mark. He's a master carpenter kind of guy, and I know you can. Mark can measure things, right, Mark? Mark can measure whether something's level and plumb, right? And certainly, you know, probably most of us. Sonny's a carpenter kind of guy too. Most of us could probably look at something usually, and we could say, well, looks level or close enough. Probably. And close enough is probably close enough until you want to put a door in there. Right? Or a window in there. How many of you ever tried to put a new window in an old house? And you notice that when you put the new window in the old house, it's not fitting. And we want to think there's something wrong with the window. Now what's wrong, Mark? Old house. And so when you want to measure things, you have tools for which to measure them. I mean, Mark, you don't, hopefully, look at things and say, close enough. You measure it. A plumb line or a roller or a level or something, right? To make sure it is what we say that it is. And so how do we measure commitment? I mean, how do you do that when it comes to people? And how do you measure long-term commitment? I mean, some people could be committed on a Monday and not be committed, what? On a Tuesday. And how do we and how do you measure commitment? How do you do that? And I was at a couple events yesterday, which made me think about bringing this message to you. One of the events that Sissy and I was at was a Sons of God national meeting. That's all of the chapters from all around the country come, from California and Missouri and Oregon, and they came to Pittsburgh. And thank you, Robin. Robin brought a wonderful teaching. We invited Robin to come and have a wonderful teaching to, we call them the sisters, the sisters of Christ. And Robin, thank you, Robin. I heard nothing but glowing remarks of what you did. Thank you, Robin. I'm so honored to be your friend. And she came and she did a great job. And there's like 50, 60, I don't know, sisters came in this room and they were really committed. And I say this to you because, you know, I'm part of the Sons of God Motorcycle Ministry, and the Pittsburgh chapter was going to host this national thing. And it took a lot of commitment. A lot of people had to step up and volunteer to do things. Somebody had to go get ice, for example, and small things. And some people had to do large things. You know, they had a big pig roast kind of thing. And, oh, that's a weird-looking thing. You ever been to a pig roast? That's a weird-looking thing. Open that up, and there is a little tail. And, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. They suck the meat from home, and it's butt. Cut off pieces. Oh, well, anyhow, somebody had to go get this thing. and the cooker and the tables, and you know what? And everybody pulled together. And at the end of the evening, Sissy and I got home about 1 o'clock last night, and I led the worship. And at the end of the evening, we were sitting around a bonfire, and I was playing music, everybody singing. And the president of the Sons of God said, "This is the best meeting ever." And that couldn't happen unless everybody was what? Committed. You see, when one part of the commitment falls short, guess what happens? It all falls short. From the biggest job to the smallest job, everybody had to do what they said they would do so that it would function the way that it was designed to function. The other event I went to was Sonny and Judy's. They had a benefit for little granddaughter Harper. And we remember Harper. She was 2 days old when she went home to be with Jesus. And they have a foundation called the Harper. Harper's Heroes, I think it's called, right? A foundation to raise money. And I went there. Wow, I think you told me April. You guys started planning this in April. Sis and I went there. We're honored to be part to be a guest and to bring a blessing and to pray over the meal. And, oh my gosh, it was millions of people. I don't know. A couple hundred for sure. And everybody had to do what they said they would do. They had to stay committed. And there were little volunteers, young, of course everybody's young dust anymore, but young girls in there serving, and everybody had to stay committed. If one person didn't stick to the commitment, guess what happens to the whole thing? Well, I want to talk to you today about your commitment to Christ. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, you know, where is our commitment when it comes to the Lord? I will tell you that, you know, in some of the things I do daily, is, and I told you this, probably ad nauseum, is to go visit people who are dying. And I want to let you know that I know that you know there's a difference between non-believers and believers in an end-of-life situation. How many can understand there's a difference? Because there is. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. That's not the difference. The difference I want to talk to you about is professing Christians who I go see. Guess what? I can tell, too. I can tell a difference. Oh, I can tell. I can tell when a person is a professing Christian by name only, and I can tell when a person is a professing Christian and has laid a foundation. Oh, it's easy for me to know. It's easy. I can tell. So are you a professing Christian only, or have you laid the foundation that's going to stand the test of time? Oh, and there is a difference. There's a big difference. When I go visit people that are dying, and they have not laid the foundation and the cornerstone, and they're in name only, there's not much difference between the believing, professing Christian and the non-believer. But you walk into a person's room that's laid the foundation. You walk into a person's room that's laid the cornerstone. You walk into a person's room that knows Jesus, and I mean have a relationship with him. Oh, there's a difference. And you know how you know? Because they're asking how you're doing. They're praying for you. Yeah, wow. Yeah, wow. When you walk into a person's room and they have every gizmo known to man, and they say to you, "Pastor, how you doing? I was praying for you." That person's laid the cornerstone. So I come to you today and I say to you, is what Mickey read for you, when you build your faith and you build your relationship, you have to build it on something that's going to stand the test of time. You have to build your faith and your relationship on something that's not going to crack. Now, I have learned, I should have talked to Mark before I did this. When I was building the deck at my house, I didn't know you need a builder's permit. I didn't know. Silly me. My house, my deck. I mean, that makes sense, right? My yard, my deck, my house. So I commenced to build this deck. I didn't know that the chief of police who lives 4 doors up was going to matter. Until one day I get a knock on the door by the building inspector. "Do could you get a builder's permit? Now, why did he ask me a question for which he already knew the answer for? He could have checked in his little book. He knew I didn't have one. I said, well, I didn't know I needed one because I didn't know that. So he cut me a break and said, well, you going down to the courthouse? And he looked around and said, go down and get that builder permit. Okay, fine. So I went down and got the builder permit. I didn't know you had to go 36 inches down into the frost line after I cemented all them in and covered it with dirt. I didn't know that. Didn't know that at all. And so he came and said, dig them up. I said, dig them up? All 12 of them? Dig them up? They got to be 36 inches below the frost line. I said, well, what if I don't dig them up? We'll tear them down. So guess what I had to do? Dig them up. Now he came with a roller too. If they weren't 36 inches, guess what, Mark? Dig them deeper. But why was he so committed to that? Why was he, because he hates me? Mark, it's not because he wants to pick on me. It's because he don't want that deck to fall down with somebody's grandkids on it. Will your faith fall down when your grandkids climb on it? Will your faith fall down when the weight of the world starts leaning on it? Will your faith start to crumble when the trials and tribulations come? Oh, and they're coming. If you sit back and you say to me, well, you know, I've escaped it so far. Well, let me tell you, hallelujah, but get ready because the truck's coming to your house next. And it's got your name on it. It's got trials and tribulations in the back, and it's going to unload it on your house. How many know? Oh, the truck is coming. If you live on this earth long enough, you will get your turn. And when it's your turn, will your faith withstand the test of time? You have to decide. You know, there are a lot of ways that you can build foundations in the year 2013. You see, another thing that I had learned by talking to a good friend of mine, Kenny Beckett. And Kenny Beckett, he works for Riverside Cement and Concrete. So I didn't know that you mix things in proper ratios. Sonny, I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was X a parts of sand, X a part of concrete, and X a part of gravel. I just put it in and mix it up. It'll be okay. It won't get hard. How did I know that you had to have an X amount of inches down in the ground? Pour it in a hole. It'll work. Did you know that they have special chemicals they can put in concrete to make it hard and quicker? Did you know they have special chemicals, Scott, to make it hard and slower? Did you know that you cannot mix certain concretes together because it won't adhere? I didn't know that. I know it now, Ed. Unfortunately. You see, did you know that in 2013 you could throw a lot of different faiths into your concrete? Oh, you can get all kind of doctrines out there. Oh, as many doctrines as you want, you can find them. Get on the internet, Google some stuff. Oh, you'll find somebody that believes what you believe. And if you can't find somebody to believe what you want to believe, you can be the first one to believe it, and they'll be checking on your website. It's true. I mean, how many different doctrines and how many different beliefs do you want to throw in that foundation that you call your faith? How many different quote-unquote religious leaders are you listening to? How many different kinds of theologies do you want to adhere to? How many different things throw into the pot? You throw enough in there, guess what, Glenn? The potpourri of nothing. Just true. For the time will come that men will not put up with sound doctrine. I think Pastor Ed brought a message about that one day. The time will come that we will not put up with sound doctrine. All we really want is what? A little ears to be tickled. Find somebody that believes what you believe. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm not the only person on the earth who believes this. And stick that in your foundation and see what happens when the test of time comes. Paul probably said it best in Romans. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe me, your foundation is not built on something that will stand the test of time. will crumble. Yesterday, Sis and I was honored to be at our closest friends in the whole world sitting right over here. We had an honor to go to Harper's memorial service, and Judy brought a person up to meet Sissy and I. And I won't mention the name, doesn't matter. But this person had shared a similar experience to what Sissy and I have experienced with the death of a son 7 months ago. 27, I think he said. 27. Similarly to our son Tommy. And it came up when he was talking to Sissy and I. Now, we're 8 years into this. He's 7 months into this. And we had the opportunity to talk to him. And I want to meet with him a little further. Because I can tell we need to lay something here. We need to lay some foundation. Yesterday, I was at Harper's Memorial Luncheon Dedication Fundraising, Harper's Heroes. And I had said to the audience, how many of you believe that there's really a heaven? And the reason why I ask a question like that is to test the foundation. Now, there's about 100 people or so there. You would think every single hand would go up, but they didn't. Some did. Some didn't. Now, I'll let you know, the one said, oh, yes, Pastor, I believe in a heaven. And I said, how many believe in angels? Oh, I believe in heaven. And how many know the day will come that you'll see Harper again? Yes, about 30%. And guess who came to me afterwards and said, Pastor, thank you for reminding me. It was the ones who what? Raised their hands. So what is it that you're building your faith on? Is it every whim? Everything that comes down the pike? New age this, new age that? Is that what you build your foundation on? Well, you know the neat thing about that is I built this sidewalk that Sissy had been wanting me to build. And I laid my what are things called? Forms? Thank you. I put my forms in. I went on over there to Home Depot, got me some bags of Sacrete. Right? Yeah, that ready mix stuff. And I poured that thing in my little wheelbarrow, 80-pound bags, one at a time. Stirred that baby up, stuck it in the hole. Ran out, and then I went over to the Walmart, got me some different kinds of stuff. Mixed that up, poured that in the hole, leveled that stuff. All that looked good on the surface. Oh, it really did, man. I go, oh, I'm the man. I mean, I am the man. I have to call anybody to do this sidewalk. Yoshiko, I'm the man. Yeah. Level that stuff off. Got my little broom. Put my little what's that called? Skid things. I put that in there. I'm so proud of that. Put my name. Tom. I started hardening. Life is good. Until winter came. That thing went right across my name, too. Of all the places that had a crack on my name. See, nobody told me I was supposed to put reinforcing stuff in there. Nobody told me that I had to put that reinforcement wire in there. Kenny Beckett didn't tell me that you could put stuff in there to make that thing stay harder. No one told me. It sure looked good on the surface. Oh, I was so proud of that. Ooh, I am the man. Look what I can do. She said, ooh, I knew you were the greatest thing since sliced bread. Until winter. And then she had to ask me. I messed up again, huh? I told you to call Mark. You see, foundation looks really good on the outside. All of you in this room, you clean up good as Christians. You come in here, oh, you look like you got it all together. I'm serious, you guys just got it all together. I mean, your faith is, woo-woo, look at me, I got it all together. Winter comes. Oh, winter's coming. Winter's coming. You see, I have another friend of mine. who's of the sons of God, and his name is Dan, and we call him Dano. That's his little name, Dano. And he teaches auto mechanics north of here, up around Allentown, and he's one of us, and he's just a genius when it comes to cars, and it's like a Beatty Tech kind of place. He does that where he's from, teaches auto mechanics. And I had decided, because I'm the man, that I was going to replace my own wheel bearings in my Acura. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm the man. I can do this. And so I jacked my car up and took my wheel off and took my disc brakes and I laid them down. And I'm looking at that nut on that spindle and I said, that's a big nut. And I got my little ratchets out. I ain't got nothing that big. 32 inches. No, 32 inches. It looked like 32 millimeters. Six point. I thought, nah, vice grips will take that baby off. I got my vice grips out, cranked that thing on there, and went, still got the hole in my hand. That hurt. So I ran me on down there to the Advanced Auto Parts, because I'm the man. I said, hey, you know, when you walk in a place like that, you kind of know, got to know what you're doing, because you don't walk in like not knowing. Because there's guys with grease all over their face and stuff. You don't walk in like being the man, right? I walked, I took my pants down a little bit, you know, like everybody else is. Nice. Got to put a little grease on your nose. I'll show on up to the help desk. Can I help you? Yep. I want me 32 millimeter socket. What's it for? No, I didn't know. Well, I'm taking the nut off. Where's the nut at? It's on the thing that holds the wheel on. Oh, a spindle. Yeah, that's it. Well, if you knew, why'd you ask me? So he gives it to me. I am now armed to the teeth. I got my socket. I got my breaker bar. I am so ready. I get down and I decided this is the last time I'm getting down because I can't get back up that many more times. So I get down, I put that socket on and I take that breaker bar. Man, that's on there tight. So I do what anybody does. I jump on it. Broke my socket. $14. So I say to Sissy, I guess I'm taking your car tomorrow. She not happy? Did you break it? No. But I got up in the air, I got the jack stand, I got the jack, I got all the parts underneath it. It's the next day. So these kids are coming for the day, kissing. The mom said, hey, you better put that car down. I don't want my kid under there. I'm like, unjack it down, put the wheel back on, take it all stuff. I talked to my friend Dan yesterday at the Sons of God. I said, Dan, I can't get that thing off. He said, well, did you loosen the tab? What tab? What tab? You didn't do it, did you? No. He said, you'll never get that thing off. You release the tab. I said, what's the tab? He said, well, you look under there, and you'll see in the spindle has a little notch. And what the mechanic does, takes a screwdriver, and he just goes, pop, and he knocks the edge of the bolt into the slot so it can't unravel by itself. Just go home and take a screwdriver, and just go, it'll come right off. That's why I went down and said, there it is. You see, you think you got it all together. But you can't lay anything unless you know the instructions. You can struggle all day long. You can do whatever you want. But unless you read the instructions, you are going to struggle. How many understand that? And the day is going to come, as sure as I am telling you, you are going to get a phone call that you don't want. I'm telling you, it's coming. How many understand that in this room? How many got the phone call you did not want? Oh, it's coming. You're going to get the diagnosis you didn't think you had. I'm telling you, it's coming. You're going to wind up in an emergency room with something you think is minor and find out, oh, it's coming. 32-year-old prospect yesterday I was talking to at the Sons of God. Had a toothache. an abscess. Now don't read into this because it's not going where you think it's going. He's a paramedic. He gets a pain, throbbing. So he takes Tylenol. It's not going away. This goes on for about 3 weeks. It's just not going away. 32 years old. He decides it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He can't stand the pain anymore. So he goes to the emergency room and has a heart attack on the emergency room floor. It wasn't a tooth. It was a heart. He now has to have alcohol injected into his heart valve weekly to stay alive. 32. It's a good thing he had a foundation. It's a real good thing he had a foundation. How's yours? What is your foundation like? I'll tell you the truth. You can have all the religion in the world. It's going to come crumbling down. You can put all your faith in all of the people that you see on TV, all of the big ones, listen to them, Sifu Dollar and Joel Osteen and all those people, but I'm going to tell you what, it ain't going to cut it. Because they're not going to hold your hand when it's your turn. What is your faith built on? My faith is built on nothing less. Who knows the rest? On Jesus' love and righteousness. And if you do not have a firm foundation, I want to let you know whose fault it is. It's yours. It's yours. I happen to know there's a Bible study on Thursday nights. There are 100 people there?
Of course.
Close. You have room for a few more?
Amen.
I happen to know there'll be another Bible study on a Wednesday night. At Sandy South. And I already know who's going to be there. You want to know how I know? Because it's the same people that's always there. See, I'll write a list right now. I know who's going to be there. The same people that's always there. There's going to be a new Bible study at Butch and Sue's house, laying the foundation of your faith. I think we got like four. That must certainly mean that you have a firm what? Foundation. There is no excuse. None. Why we do not have a firm foundation. None. Unless you've built your house on something less than Jesus' love and righteousness. Let me just close this for you to think about. I started this message and I had asked you, how do you measure one's commitment? You know how you know? When the storms come. That's how you know. When the storms come, oh, and they will come, that's how you'll know. You'll see whose foundation now is standing. It is true. It is true that we may be bent over a little bit when the storm comes, but we are not moving. We're not moving. And it may also be true that when the storms come, you may be knocked down, but your feet are still planted. And then what happens? You stand back up and what? That was a tough one. I didn't see that one coming. How's your foundation? Is it cemented in God's word? Have you laid the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ? Well, here's the way it goes. I won't know until what? The storm comes. Then I'll know. I'll know then. See, I won't know that the window joist I put in wasn't straight. Until I do what? Put in the window. Right? I won't know the concrete sidewalk I built will last until what? Winter comes. See, I won't know I can't get that nut off that car until I scratch a hand up. So, how is your foundations? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to lay a foundation that will yield the test of time. But I will be very bold here this morning and say there's not one single church on which you can build a foundation that will last. Churches are closing all the time. There cannot be a pastor that you can build your foundation in. They'll fail you. They will fail you. Only Jesus Christ can withstand the test of time. Only Him. Only Him. So Lord, as we sit in this room together today, listening to this word, there's only one way to make sure that our foundation is solid, and that's to get in there and start picking out all the things that would corrupt it. We find anything in our foundation that would cause a break, get rid of it. Anything that might not be pure and holy from you, we need to get rid of it. Just get rid of it. We don't need things in our foundation that's going to cause us to stumble when the time comes. So we need to get in there and make sure that nothing of impurity is in it, so that when our foundation is built, it is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and His righteousness. And all of God's people said,